Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are going to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. And we'll read verses 1 through 8, please. Verses 1 through 8, I'll read if you'll follow along. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you, and we again look at this matter of adding charity to our foundation of faith, Lord, that we would be a charitable people, individually, each one of us, and as a whole, as a congregation, Lord, that people would sense our love, our compassion, and our genuine love for them. We pray that it would not seem, there be no indication or even a misperception that it is a forced love, that it is really a cold love, but that it is warm. Lord, help us to examine our own lives to show us where we need to make changes to make this happen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Today we are looking at verse 5. Last week, it'll be 2 weeks ago, we looked at verse 4. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself not, is not puffed up. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So we looked at how charity is not supposed to be proud. And you might say, well, but what about taking pride in your work? That's not being proud. You know, I believe we should all take pride in our work. You know, if I'm changing the tires on my car, part of taking pride in my work is making sure that I've torqued the lug nuts down, so that when I'm going down the road, I don't have a tire going like this. I don't know if you've ever had a tire do that. I've had it do that before. I don't know why it did. I don't know if I torqued it improperly or if it just worked itself loose. But part of, you know, we do take pride in our work, where we have a strong work ethic. But we are not to be proud about, we're not to lift ourselves up, vaunt ourselves up. So in verse 5, we come across this phrase here, that charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. So that's a word used in our King James Bible that is not in common use today. Out of curiosity, and this is the only time I'll do a study, I'll use a different version, is to see what the other versions have done to the word. Not to learn anything, but to see how they have damaged it. You understand what I'm saying, right? This isn't, it's not like, well, let's see what they say. Oh, that's an interesting perspective. No. And you see here that, for instance, one example is the NIV. It has the phrase, it doth not dishonor others. But you know, that's really not a faithful rendition of the phrase. So to put it in simple terms, the phrase to behave unseemly means to behave improperly or inappropriately. Improperly or inappropriately. If we take the prefix un off, and you know the word un is a negative, so if you take that off, we have the opposite, which is seemly. And the word seemly is used twice in the Old Testament, and what the word seemly means is it means suitable. It means becoming. It means comely. Suitable, becoming, comely. So an example, Proverbs 19:10, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. So it's not suitable. It's not appropriate. speaking of the fool and of the servant ruling over princes. Proverbs 26:1, as snow in summer and rain and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. It's not appropriate. You don't honor a fool. So the word unseemly. Some examples of ways in which people might behave unseemly is speaking rudely. Speaking rudely. Let's take a look at the familiar verse there, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Matthew 12, 35. Now, people might tell you that you are speaking rudely to them when you tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. That's the offense of the cross. That's not being rude. And if they tell you you're rude, then of course they're wrong. It's not true. But when we talk about being rude, it's where we are unnecessarily offensive. Some offenses have to happen, like the gospel. It is an offense to some. It hurts their pride to think that they need a Savior. Believers are not to speak rudely to others. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, as a believer, we're supposed to be the good man. We're supposed to bring good treasures out of our heart. We're supposed to speak true words. We're supposed to speak edifying words, encouraging words. But we're not to speak rudely. And usually it's when we're in a pinch. When somebody has done something to us, they've said something to us, in some cases maybe it's police officers pulled us over, and I'm just thinking of a story of a fellow from one of our old churches there. He was on his way to church, no less, and was speeding, got pulled over, and he said something rude to the police officer, which he very soon regretted. But, and as he drove away, he looked at on the dash, and there was his Bible sitting on the dash of the car. And the police officer had given him his business card, and he called the police officer up and he said, I need to apologize. I'm a believer, and what I said to you was wrong. It was inappropriate. I deserved that ticket, and thank you for giving it to me. It's when we're in a pinch. When someone says something, or someone cramps our style, someone ruins our day. We have our day plotted out, or we have a certain action or job plotted out, and in some way or another, they ruin it for us, or we feel like they've ruined it. And the first thing that comes to mind is to speak rudely to them. Well, being charitable when a person is being charitable, they are not unseemly. They don't speak rudely. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. And you know how it is. Sometimes words fly out like arrows before we have a chance to even really think about it, and then we have to go searching for those arrows. Ephesians 4:29. Of course, even then, damage is often done. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So corrupt, something that's gone bad. I found an apple today in my backpack that I'd taken with me to Alberta. It was unfortunate it was in a Ziploc bag, so it was self-contained. But, it was corrupt, if you know what I mean. So let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how he ought to answer every man. We read a lot in Scripture about mercy and truth. In the Old Testament, we read about mercy and truth have kissed. In this verse here, we read about grace and salt. Grace, it is in the same family as mercy. Obviously some different meanings there. The salt, you know, we mix grace and truth together. Where we have the right spirit. And the people that have the right spirit about something can say things to people that often others cannot. They can edify people in such a way that others cannot, because those people, they sense the grace, they sense the love, the compassion, the care. The fact that there's no self-motivation, that there's no rudeness involved. So think about that. Seasoned with salt. Okay. When we think about being unseemly, that can be in word, it can be in deed. We got to be careful about being rude with our body language. You know, never let it be said that a Christian has used obscene body language. As you know, there are certain body signs and gestures that distinctly fall under the category of being obscene. Let us never be guilty of using those gestures. 1 Timothy 4:12, please. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, Paul talking to Timothy, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're looking at the second half of this verse about being an example in word, in conversation. And you say, word, conversation? Why does he say it twice? Well, conversation means the whole picture, the lifestyle of a person. So in what they do, what they say, what they actually do, charity and spirit and faith and purity. You cannot be pure in heart, in spirit, and use obscene gestures. There's another word it's in the same family as unseemly, and that's the word uncomely. This might help as a derivative, might spread more light on the word. You know, and let's take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, speaking about the body of Christ and the different members within that body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, well, we're back up to verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Uncomely parts. So the word comely, I think as you probably know, is synonymous with being beautiful, being pretty. Or with a man being handsome. Of course, uncomely is the opposite, isn't it? But this is, you know, we're looking at it from spiritual terms, spiritual perspective. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3 about the adorning of the body. Brother Steve was talking about the bride eyeing not her garment. I think that'd take a lot of... That'd be a super spiritual bride, I think. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And of course, this is speaking about women, but The general principle is that men are supposed to, it's just as important for a man to culture the inner man. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. Notice verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's the kind of comeliness God wants of us. A meek and quiet spirit. Let's cultivate that hidden man of the heart. Also, when we're talking about unseemly, you know, we talked about it being tied to that word inappropriate. And when we think about inappropriate, there's inappropriate relationships. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Vice President Pence was criticized because he made the decision that some time ago, I don't know when, but years ago I take it, that he would not have a meal alone with another woman outside of his wife, that he would only have a meal with his wife and no other woman alone. And it was kind of, he was criticized as, you know, being a misogynist and, you know, that he was basically anti-women. And I've kind of seen some memes on Facebook lately about, Vice President Pence doesn't look so bad these days, does he? When we got all this other nonsense going around in the world about inappropriateness. Inappropriate physical relationships. Inappropriate touching. The first appearance of, let's take a look here in Romans chapter 1, verse 27. Where we see this word unseemly used. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Inappropriate is what the word means. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Of course, the inappropriateness is not just between those of the same gender, but anytime someone who is not married to a person has physical relations or has physical touch outside of like a handshake, then that is inappropriate. We have to be so careful about what we do in word and in deed when it comes to being appropriate. Let it never be said that a Christian harasses people for physical favors. That they do not harass their friends, colleagues, or anyone else in an ungodly way. Let's put safeguards in place so that does not happen. And of course, just like Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself the king's meat. And that goes for anything. We can purpose in our heart. We must purpose in our heart ahead of time. So in word and in deed. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 2 says, now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. First Timothy 5, 1 through 2, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and young men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. And that is my goal in our church, is to is to treat the older women as I would a mother, as it says here, and the younger ones as sisters. But notice that phrase there, with all purity. Because in some cases, some would take advantage of that, kind of basically saying, well, we're brothers and sisters now in Christ, so we can cozy up. But that's not the case. With all purity. We're not to be spotted by the world. Revelation 16:15 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So we're told that we've been given a robe of righteousness, and our job is to keep that pure. So we are to abstain from inappropriate, unseemly words or deeds. And we say words, you think about it your workplace or when you're around unsaved people and they tell a filthy joke. Don't join in. Don't laugh. And, I mean, it depends on the situation. Maybe you can walk away. Maybe you can just, in a gracious way, remembering that they are unsaved, it'd be easy to snap at them and bite their head off, so to speak. But remember, they are unsaved. They are what you were at one point. They've got a depraved nature. And so instead of snapping at them in love, grace seasoned with salt, as Colossians says, say something, those stories, they really hurt me. I really have a hard time listening to those. And I've told you before how I've been in workplaces, and it's not me, it should be any Christian. I've been in a workplace before where someone's got a television on and I see them start to kind of get a little fidgety, and finally they switch it to a sports channel. And this one guy said, I feel like I'm in here with my grandma. I didn't say anything. But our testimony can speak for itself, right? And it ought to. James 1:27, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Jude 1:21-23, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hating the garment spotted by the flesh. That's where the fear of God comes into place. If a person does not have a proper fear of God, they're willing to get dirty. I was under my car today. Got fairly dirty, fairly greasy. Cleaned up okay, but when it comes to our spiritual walk with the Lord, we don't get dirty and then go wash off. The idea is that we don't get dirty. In the first place, we don't have it in our mindset, well, I've got some detergent under the kitchen sink that will take off that grease. We avoid it. We hate the garment spotted by the flesh. I've looked before in the symbology of the garment spotted by the flesh, and I think that goes back to the Old Testament times when they had leprosy, and there would be wounds. Leprous wounds that were leaking out through the garment spotted by the flesh. God wants the believer to be unspotted from the world. He wants the believer to carry in their body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said, not the marks of this world. So as we think about that matter of charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Let's think about our own lives. How are we at behaving seemly, behaving appropriately, suitably, comely? Are we cultivating that inner man of the heart? Are we being so careful at not joining in with the rough conversation of this world. Not swearing. Not using crass, vulgar words. Not using inappropriate words. Not using inappropriate gestures. You think about a situation. You think back to Genesis when Noah planted himself a vineyard after the flood, and he ended up making wine, an alcoholic wine, and he was intoxicated. And you remember how the story, well, we can just quickly turn there. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. My lips were not working. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. Now, what Noah did was wrong. What Ham did was inappropriate. It was unseemly to go and tell his brethren about it. And you've got to know from the account here that he didn't just say, oh no, I just went into the tent and father's naked. You've got to know by the way it's worded here and later on what Noah says that he made light of it. That he mocked his father. That was inappropriate. And what do we see with his brothers? Verse 23. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered the nakedness of their fathers. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. You might come across situations, you know, where someone is in a vulnerable circumstance. You know, it happens in the ambulance field all the time. And when you come into such a situation like that, you've got to protect someone's dignity, their privacy. You need to treat them how you would want to be treated. And the same goes for a deceased person. You know, if a person is in that line of work, they need to treat the body with care, with respect, right? And so the believer has to be seemly, has to be appropriate when dealing with others. And not like Ham, who exposed his father's nakedness, but instead be like Shem and Japheth. Okay, let's go back into our text. First Corinthians chapter 13. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Our natural instinct is it wants to seek for our own, to get a better position at work, to get more recognition, to accumulate more wealth to ourselves. That's the natural man. And that's where we have to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So if we're going to be charitable, we don't seek our own. That part of our life starts to die away. That flesh needs to start to atrophy. You think about a muscle that's not used. What happens? It atrophies. It shrinks. It gets smaller, and with time, as we walk more and more in the Spirit and not in the flesh, that muscle needs to atrophy. the seeking our own. And if we catch ourselves red-handed doing it, then we need to stop ourselves. And there is going to be that continual battle between the spirit, the soul, and the flesh. The soul and the flesh, they sometimes work in harmony against the spirit. Soul being that part that has our emotional makeup and some of the emotional decisions that we make, along, of course, with the flesh, the body itself. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Verse 30 through 36. Luke 6, 30 through 36. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So, just to pause there for a second. You know, this is similar to what the Lord says, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, to prefer one another. And of course, we know that this is not the way to heaven, but this is the way that a Christian ought to live their life. But this will not get us to heaven. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. But if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So the Christian is not to seek their own. Not to say, well, sure, I'll help this person, because you know what? I think if I help this person, boy, this actually might be a good thing. Maybe they'll help me. Maybe they'll say a good word to that person who's my boss, and maybe they'll... You know, and we don't scheme. We show love to everybody. We show compassion to everybody, including our enemies. Again, that's what the scripture says, is heaping coals of fire on their head. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, please. Romans 5, 1 and 2. I'm sorry, 15, 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. So charity seeketh not her own. Charity isn't looking out for number one, or as the world would say. When the world often says to look out for yourself, because no one else is. You don't have to turn here. I'm going to read a few verses before we close here. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians 12:25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Galatians 5:13, but for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Galatians 6:1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So bear someone else's burden. Philippians 2, 1 through 4, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We see it over and over, don't we? Charity seeketh not her own. That doesn't make us a doormat. That might be the impression you might get. It does not make us a doormat. When we look out for someone else's best interest, God uses people and circumstances to look out for our best interest. You know, when we look out for ourselves, we fail miserably. We get no satisfaction. We gyp ourselves of the real blessings. 2 Timothy 2, 9 through 10, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he would endure persecutions for the believer. Last verse here, 1 John 3, 16 through 17, we looked at this recently. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for his friend, for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So our eyes need to be looking out, not back at ourselves. Charity seeketh not her own. Okay, well, we'll end with those thoughts and encourage us to, each one of us, to think through this 1 Corinthians 13 and be looking at ourselves. How can we be more charitable? What can we do to express charity even more so? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the charity that you showed to us when you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us not to strive with people, but to love them and to season our graceful words with salt, with the truth. Mercy and truth, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go to prayer, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, again, just help us be mindful of those requests we need to bring before your throne. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.